Welcome to ACB Radio's Main Menu Live. Opinions expressed during the show do not reflect the views of ACB Radio or the American Council of the Blind, its members, employees, or board of directors. If you would like to participate in the live show at 2 hours Universal on Wednesdays, please call toll-free 866-400-5333. That's 866-400-5333.
Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, depending on where you are here on Mainstream, and welcome to Main Menu Live. Tonight we have a number of panel experts with us tonight to talk all things Olympus and digital and music and all kinds of fun stuff. So let me first introduce my co-host tonight, Daryl Chandro, who we're actually very, very happy he has been able to join us tonight. We weren't sure that was actually going to be able to happen. Hello, Daryl, how you doing?
Great.
Oh, good. If you can get a little closer to your phone there, that would be great. And in addition, we have Randy Knapp and Don Barrett have returned to Main Menu Live this week. Hello, guys.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Jeff. Hey, how you doing, Randy? And, of course, tonight we wouldn't have the show, of course, the guest of honor tonight, Neil Yours. Hello, Neil.
I don't know about the honor, but I'd be here.
Well, we first need to find out, Neil, how your house is, because, of course, when we were watching things happen on Blind Cool Tech and on the list and things, it was quite chilly in your house. It was.
We needed a new furnace.
Yes.
During the week that we needed it, it only went down to minus 17 here.
So, oh.
That's all.
We were only cold for a short period of time, and we now have a nice, quiet, warm furnace.
Oh, that's great. That's really good. All right. Well, we wanted to talk about the Olympus DS50 tonight, and, of course, the phone lines are already open, 866-400-5333, 866-400-JEFF, if anyone wants to call in and ask any questions. And the first question that I have, only because it was the last thing we sort of heard about on the podcast, Neil, and that is, have you heard any information on this new microphone?
I just talked to Olympus, I talked to a dealer a couple of days ago, and they were saying that there were a whole bunch of microphones coming out in March, including the noise-canceling ones and including the stereo mic.
Oh, great. Okay. Okay, good.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, Don and Randy, you guys both have the Olympus, right? Let's first talk to Don here so we don't get both of you guys chattering at the same time. So Don, because we know Randy, you know, getting you to stop is hard.
That's right.
So, Don, tell us about how are you liking the Olympus, and what kind of things have you found out about it through your trial and error in using it?
I like it a lot, as a matter of fact. Actually, I'm going to start out by talking about something I don't like about it.
Okay, good.
And I was really surprised, in fact. I have another digital recorder which allows me to append to a file. So, for example, if you put a grocery list on it and then you wanted to add a couple items, on my other digital recorder you could play your file and then hold down record and it would beep and let you append your additional items to that file.
I think I have the very same recorder.
Yeah, so you know what I'm talking about,
yep,
right?
Yep.
And now
none of the Olympus products that I'm aware of allow you to do that. I've got a DM20, which is an older model, and I don't believe any of the recorders that Olympus has allows you to do that.
That's a shame. I was kind of, you know, if you record half a podcast and then you get a phone call and you want to record another half on the DS30, 40, or 50, you need to make another file out of it. And, of course, you know, Randy and I were talking a little earlier. You know, you can join them using a program like Total Recorder. In fact, the DS Player has an upgrade for $9.95.
Right.
That actually has a feature that'll let you join two files together that are on the device. I guess they realize they left it out of the device itself.
But yeah.
I'm not sure how accessible that feature is yet because I haven't upgraded.
Hey, guys, we have our first caller for the night. Let's bring the caller in and welcome them to Main Menu Live. Hello, caller. How can we help
you
tonight?
Hi, how are you? It's Tina.
Hello, Tina. How can we help?
Well, actually, I was just wondering, I realize it's mainly a voice type of recorder,
but I'm wondering what you guys think about using it to record music lessons, specifically the flute. And so I'm wondering, obviously there's one microphone in there that, would really sound distorted terrible, I think, with it. But I'm wondering if there are any other ones that would be worth looking at to make some halfway decent recordings of, you know, when I'm learning my pieces and stuff like that.
Okay. Tina, why don't we let you listen on the air, and we'll let one of these guys answer. We'll have Neil go first. Okay. Thanks, Tina, for calling in. Sure.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead, Neil.
We were just talking about this as my podcast ended here among ourselves, and I actually heard a very wonderful recording today. Somebody made a podcast of being in his farm in Scotland, and he was recording pigs squealing and ducks and geese, and he had a cold and he was coughing, and he was using microphones that seemed to be very well matched with the unit. I have a bunch that I have that have way too high an output for the unit, and these were that he was using were BSM 9, B as in boy, S as in sometimes, M as in mother, 9. And I checked the specs on them, and at 1 pascal, and I don't want to get into a whole lot of technical details here, they were at about a minus 42 output. A dynamic mic might be around minus 30, so it's much lower. A really good condenser mic is going to be much hotter. But these seem to work really well with that microphone. There was no distortion. I don't believe he did a whole lot of futzing around with the volumes afterwards. And they really worked well.
Great. We have another caller. Let's bring the caller in and welcome them to Main Menu Live. Hello, caller.
Hello, Jeff.
Hello, Marlena.
And everybody else. I have maybe an unfair question, or maybe one that is apples and oranges, but I've never stopped for fear of asking an apples and oranges question.
That's
so my
true.
Question is, I have the Plextalk PTR 2, and it did a fabulous job recording the Ronnie Millsap concert that I was recently at, and just outstandingly well in this huge, loud arena. And with it, I run Core Sound binaural mics, and I have a little filter into which I can plug my mics to roll the bass off if I so choose. My question is, can anybody make a comparison between the capabilities of the Olympus and the Plextalk 2, PTR 2?
Very interesting, yeah. Okay, great. Marlena, can you listen on the air?
I certainly can, and hello to everybody, and goodbye to everybody.
Goodbye, Marlena.
Hi, Marlena.
Hi.
Well, Marlena, just for what it's worth, I wouldn't, I don't think I would use the DS50 to record something like that. If I didn't have a PTR2, I'd probably use an Eddie Roll R9 or R1 or something like that.
What about you, Neil?
I think.
Yeah, one big drawback, well, a couple big drawbacks in this regard that the Olympus has is that, one, there is no way to set manual record levels. It has 3 levels of mic attenuation, and the lowest one is pretty doggone hot if you're using its internal or external microphone. And I suspect that even with the microphones I talked about earlier, given that kind of volume, you're not gonna get anything but distortion. The other problem with the Olympus, and I have been looking around for a solution to this, is that one could, on another recorder, on numbers of recorders, use a microphone preamp and go into the line-in on the recorder. But as all of us who know on this phone call, the Olympus does not have a line-in jack.
Right, right.
So what I've been trying to find is some kind of attenuation cord that has a mini stereo mini plug on both ends, and there doesn't seem to be one that I can find. Radio Shack sells them, but they're mono. So I have not found. So if one had such a cord, and one wanted to get a microphone preamp, that might work. But that's a big if.
Now, what do you think, Neil, about the firmware in this unit? Do you think that it's a, there's possibilities for them to add, you know, any of these features of controlling any of this in the future by firmware update?
My guess is that, and it's only a guess.
Sure.
I obviously haven't seen the inside of this thing. My guess is that things like the mic attenuation levels are hardware and not
not software controlled.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Bummer.
I also
that's a guess, but I would suspect, based on other recorders I know about, that's the case.
Okay, go ahead, Randy.
I also think we have to remember that the purpose or the intent of this recorder is really more of a speech / podcast type tool. And if you have issues with distortion, if it's not very able to gracefully deal with dynamics, then, you know, by design, I don't think its use was intended for you know, live professional recording. So I think it's more the idea, like we all do, is picking the appropriate tool for the appropriate job. And there certainly is a lot of appropriateness about what the DS50 does, because I use it every day for my verbal organizer until I can get to a computer or a note taker to get something written down. I can just whip it out and in 3 seconds have something recorded that I can then either keep temporarily or store on a computer or do what I want to with the material. And I think that is the kind of thing that the recorder is suitable for.
Now, what do you guys think about a situation where you're at some getting a little IM here. What do you think about a situation where you're recording something like, you know, CSUN presentations or something like that, where, you know, you're sitting out in an audience. Do you think that you know, the Iterall R9 versus the Zoom versus the DS50? I mean, obviously,
I think the DS50 would do great for that.
Yeah. What do you guys think about that?
Well, the DS50 has what they call 3 modes: dictation, which is the lowest sensitivity, most attenuation, and then conference, and then lecture. And I think the lecture mode would be just great for that, based on some of the recordings that I've made with it recently.
Yeah. What do you think, Neil?
I think that's true. But it depends on what you want to do with the recording. If it's not going to be a broadcast quality recording, so if you want to have it as notes for yourself, or even put it up as a podcast, realizing that there's going to be lots of room noise, there
sure
might be some distortion depending on where the PA speakers are, etc., it ain't going to be a professional sounding recording, but you are going to be able to hear what's going on.
Yeah. Well, considering the fact they don't let us tap into the
yeah
sound systems, we get what we get when we go to CSUN and record them. So.
and in all fairness, it's a doggone easy recorder to use. I mean,
exactly.
I have auditioned the Eterall and the Zoom, and those are all good units. But this thing fits in your top shirt pocket. You just pull it out,
yeah,
press record, you hear the beep. One thing I have noticed about this recorder versus some of the previous Olympus recorders is that the beep for record and pause doesn't seem to be as loud. And when I'm in really noisy settings, I have to put up to my ear to be sure I hear it. And
yeah,
I don't know that any of you have, whether any of you have discovered that or not. But
exactly. I agree 100%.
I agree.
Yeah.
Very hard.
The only other thing that I really have a complaint about the case is that you cannot turn the unit on and off with it in the case.
Oh, I don't ever use it in the case, but that's an interesting.
Yeah, to keep it protected.
The whole idea of turning it on and off is I think new to all the Olympus products that I've heard of. I mean, my DM20 and the DS200 or whatever the other models are, you just pick up and press record and you go. I have on occasion, what I have found is, okay, I have mine set to go to sleep in 5 minutes. And as I think I said on the podcast, it really doesn't go all the way to sleep. You can press a button and it starts up again. However, if you don't remember that and record is the first button you press, then all you've done is wake up the recorder. You are not in record, so you press record again.
Right.
So I often will, if I think it's extended beyond my sleep time, of course I could always up my sleep time too, it's a 10 or 15 minutes, I will press play and then press it again and make sure I hear a file before I start recording. But there is that, oh, now it's off thing, which no other Olympus recorder that I know of has had to deal with.
Interesting. Okay. Hey, we have another caller. Let's bring the caller in and welcome them to Main Menu Live. Hello, caller. How can we help you tonight?
Hello, guys. This is John Gunn calling. And, Neil, I think you're in Wisconsin as well.
We were
down about minus 20 up here in Wisconsin Rapids. I know what you're saying. A couple comments. First of all, I think in a wish list, what I would also want, and maybe you know this, is I remember you mentioned the display. Can you shut that off? Because that's another way to conserve power. Also, I use Cakewalk, and I noticed you talked about the USB capability for the mic, you know, when you're going from cloth storage to audio. And I'm wondering, have you tried to use that for recording in your computer at all?
Okay, John, can we go ahead and let you listen on the
stream?
Sure
can, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
great. Thanks. Go ahead, guys.
Now, I'm just looking at the menus here on the display, and I've got contrast. What is it saying?
I know you can turn off the backlight.
LED lamp setting.
And you can turn off the lamp as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think those are the only two things you can turn off.
I'm sure every little bit helps.
Yeah. I turned all those things off.
Me too.
Because of some of the context in which I want to record.
Yeah, and this recorder, unlike a lot of the other recorders that we've mentioned, you don't as necessarily have to have somebody sighted come along and say, can you tell me what this menu says? Oh, I can't see the menu. You've turned off the light. You've turned off the display. Because of the voice prompts, you're pretty safe at doing that.
Right. Yeah. Interesting.
One interesting thing that I noticed about the DS50, I had ordered the accessory battery charger and batteries to go with it, and I assumed that by saying, yes, I wanted the charger and batteries, I'd get the appropriate batteries. Well, what happened was they sent a charger with 4 AA batteries.
And it takes AAAs, yeah.
Even though the charger was able to take 2 AAA batteries. So they've got a little straightening out to do on that point. I mean, I can certainly use the 4 AA rechargeable, but I had to go back and then purchase the 2 AAAs from them, though. I don't think you would really have to do that. I think you could use any number of AAA rechargeables, but I did so just to stay consistent with that charger.
Right.
Do you know that?
But I just thought that was interesting.
Do you know that the charger you got won't charge AAA? Because I have a charger, not from Olympus, that actually fits both. I mean, because they're not quite the same length, but it's spring tensioned enough that it actually works on AAA as well.
Yeah, I actually know that it will charge because I called Olympus, and they basically said...
They blew it.
Oh, well, you're going to have to order the batteries.
Wow. We have a question coming in on MSN Messenger.
Okay.
By the way, everybody, that's mainmenu@acbradio.org if you'd like to send us an MSN Windows Live message. Peter asks, what are the pros and cons of using the DS50 to play Audible books?
Great question. Now, I know Don has a little bit of experience with this, and let's start with him, and then we'll...
I know you have as well, Neil, but let me get the ball rolling a little bit. I just read my first Audible book over the weekend using the DS50. A tip for anybody, sometimes when you synchronize the unit, or when you upload items from your Audible manager to the Olympus, you go to play an Audible file, and it'll play them in the wrong order, and you're not sure what order the files are in on the Olympus. If you're in your Audible manager and you want to find out the order of the files on the Olympus, you connect the unit and let it synchronize, and then when you tab, you're actually in the Olympus instead of your Audible folder on your computer. And you can arrow up and down and actually find out the order that the files are in on the Olympus. At least that's my understanding. Neil, has that been your experience
That's something I would not have known, because it so happens that the only Audible book I read was in one section. So my question to you, Don, is what if, by mistake, what if you're halfway through part one and you go to the Audible folder and you arrow down and start reading part two, is it going to keep your place when you go back to part one?
Absolutely. And this is something that is a little bit confusing, and I was thinking about doing a little podcast on it myself. For each file that's in the Audible folder, the Olympus creates a .pos file. That's a file that keeps your position for whatever file you're in. So when you stop playing part one and you accidentally start playing part two, the .pos file for part one is still going to keep your position.
I'd like to say something about just sort of playing files in general on the DS50. You have to set, there's a number of play modes and skip modes that you can set. And in order to get an experience that's similar to what you get on other MP3 players, you have to set the skip mode to file skip. And then you can still skip if you hold down the forward and back keys, but it's I think there's pretty small intervals.
Right.
However, in Audible books, it seems to be a little different.
It is.
And there's no way to quickly, that I've found anyway, to easily skip from one file to the other when you're in Audible books.
Don?
What I've noticed, and this is kind of interesting, if I start playing an Audible file, if I'm playing the file and I tap the fast forward key, it'll move 3 seconds into the future, or the rewind key will move 3 seconds into the, you know, past. If you stop the unit and then hit the fast forward or rewind key, you'll go to the next section and it'll give you a double beep. So I hit the fast forward and I keep hearing double beeps, and then when I hear a single beep, I know I'm in the next file.
Oh.
I don't know how many files. I know that Audible's later files has that kind of markup. I don't know how long they've been doing that. Mine had the same thing, although what I also found, I think, and I might have to correct myself on this, is that even in play, if you hold down the forward or back arrows, I believe you still go to the chapter marks.
Yeah, you can. Well, actually, I lost my place, and I had to start at the beginning of a file, and I held down the fast forward while
boy.
I was playing, and I was able to jump. Gosh, I don't know how fast it was going, but it was like fast forward. You couldn't hear it.
Yeah.
But it took maybe 2 or 3 minutes, and I was able to get back to my place. One of the interesting things is what they call the playback position.
Hey, Don.
If you stop the unit and accidentally jump to another section, as long as you don't hit play, your playback position stays where you left it. So let's say you stop the unit and hit fast forward, you can hit rewind again, and you'll be right back at your playback position.
Interesting.
But if you hit play in the new position, then it will update your playback position.
And the other difference is that unlike music files and speech files that you put on the recorder, when you hold down the back or forward arrows in Audible files, you don't get the sound of the speech going by quickly. You don't hear anything at all.
Interesting. Okay. We have another caller. Let's bring the caller in and welcome them to Main Menu Live. Hello, caller. How can we help you tonight?
Hello, this is Chris Garstead. How you guys doing?
Hey, Toonhead.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, how you doing?
All right.
That's kind of a bummer about the audio of the Audible books. But I had a question for you guys. I don't know if Neil covered this in your podcast. But I had a question about the voice-enabled menus. Now, when you get the unit and you take it out of the box and you put batteries into it, will it speak automatically, or do you have to have someone help you with sighted assistance to get those to turn on?
No, it speaks automatically.
Oh, good.
Yep.
That is very cool.
You can turn them off, actually, if you want, but... Now,
I can't figure out anybody who would want to do that.
Not in our case, exactly.
Not in our case.
Yeah.
Actually, I would never recommend turning it off if you're blind, because the menu is wrapped. So this recorder would actually be a nightmare to use without the voice.
You have to have sighted help to turn them back on again.
Yeah. One of the things that I've noticed was that supposedly you can restore the from the software. And I looked everywhere on my hard drive, and I can't find the files for the...
They're there. I don't remember what folder they're in.
That's interesting. I'm wondering if I just didn't get them installed or something. It's very interesting.
You can also, if you upgrade to the DSS Plus software, which I did, you can control like 90-some percent of the Greek menus through the download. It's in the download menu of the software.
Okay, Chris, anything else?
I want to get going here, guys.
Okay.
Good show.
Yep.
Thanks for taking the call.
Sure. Take care.
What do you mean by controlling them?
Bye-bye.
Yeah, Dale, could you say a little bit more about that?
Yeah. I didn't mess around with every single option in there. But in the download menu, there's a configure submenu, dialog that you go into. And I was able to, for instance, set an alarm. I was actually able to set an alarm and get it to play a file at a specific time.
Can you select?
I thought what you were saying was that you had some control over how the spoken menu.
Oh no! I meant controlling the device.
Taking
control of the menus through the software.
Yeah, same way with setting the time. I mean, I suppose you could do it because one of the things I did mention in my podcast was that when you get into the time set mode, it just beeps, and I suppose if you knew where the first beep was and kept beeping down, you could do that, but you can certainly do it with the software, and you can actually have the software resynchronize the time of the recorder with the computer each time you plug in that word.
That's the way to go, for sure.
Yeah.
I was real surprised and pleased to find that, but one thing I want to make sure people do understand, I mean, it is a wonderful product, and it really is very accessible for the most part, but all of the voice guidance prompts are pre-recorded. It will not read you file names as you move around the device.
Right.
So if you get it, don't expect it to, use a text-to-speech algorithm and actually read out loud the file names. Those you will not hear.
We're not there yet.
No. We need to get Neil. We need to get Neil to re-record all of the WMA files in his voice.
In the other voice.
One of the things I didn't mention in my podcast, which I think I should bring up because I actually wished for it, and that was an easy way to go back and forth between folders.
Mm.
Because as it stood when I made my podcast, my knowledge was that you press the folder button and you go to A and you go to B and you go, and if you want to go to, now if you're on B and you want to go back to A again, you got to go through all the whole list of folders because this is only a one-way button. However, I have discovered that if you hit the index button three times, it not only, which is the button between the, what are the buttons above the display? I can't even remember.
A folder, index, and display,
yes.
Right?
Yes. If you hit the index button three times, it says the folder you're in, and if you up or down arrow, you can go back or forward through the folders, press enter on the one you want, and there you are.
Very nice.
That's great. I didn't know that.
Yeah. We have a question on MSN Windows Live Messenger.
Daryl, before we do that, let's take our caller first,
okay.
And then we'll get to the question on IM. Hello, caller, and welcome to Main Menu Live.
Hello, I'm Jan from Ohio. And,
hello, Jan.
I think this question was asked, so forgive me if I repeat, but I think John asked it, and I missed the answer or something. But has anyone tried using the recorder as a USB microphone to a computer?
Okay.
No, I didn't answer that. Somebody did ask that. You're right, Jan. And they had asked about changing the USB from a storage device to an audio class device.
Right.
I haven't done that. I don't know if any of you other guys have or not.
Jan, we'll let you listen on the air.
Thank you.
I actually have not done it either.
I've passed by that option in the menu.
Yeah, I have not done it. I haven't done it either.
I haven't even read that much in the menu about how you do it. Do you have to press record? I don't know. So I guess the answer...
Yeah, there's actually the menu. I think once you pick audio class, I guess if you opened up like Total Recorder or whatever, Studio Recorder, it would be your microphone, I guess.
I've heard some people say, you know, they can get JAWS to speak through the, you know, the DS50 and all kinds of crazy stuff.
What?
That could be useful.
Because it can be used as a sound card, yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Huh, interesting.
Yeah.
That could be useful in some cases, I guess.
Yeah, it could, actually. Yeah.
Right, guess
well,
I know
especially
what I'll
be... if they keep taking the record out of all the sound drivers.
Yeah. Very interesting.
I know what I'll be doing tomorrow.
Yeah. The number is 866-400-JEFF.
Can we look forward to an effective demo of your
podcast? Yeah.
Maybe recorded from my computer on the Olympus.
There you go. The number is 866-400-5333, 866-400-JEFF. And, Daryl, you had a question on MSN. Go right ahead.
Ming asks, what languages does the recorder support? And I think it's just English, isn't it?
No.
Voice guidance files available in any other language?
I'm trying to remember when I downloaded if I had a choice. I don't think on my computer there are any other voice files, but did I have a choice when I downloaded the set? When I installed the software.
Well, there was a choice of language. There was, but you had to pick English or whatever, but I don't know if it actually installs the voice files, you know, in that language or not.
Well, it certainly defaults to English, and there's nothing in the menus that I am aware of that allows you to change language, so it would have to be done through software somehow, I would guess.
When I was exploring the CD, I don't know, I guess sometimes when I look at new devices, I kind of do it in sort of a perverse sort of way. I was going through the CD directories and I saw this whole group of WMA files, so I had to listen to them. And the only ones I found were WMA files with English prompts.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You just wanted to hear that sweet British accent.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Exactly.
It's interesting that the manual is in two other languages. So
interesting.
I guess that's for English-speaking Spanish folks or something.
We have another caller. Let's bring the caller in. Hello, caller, and welcome to Main Menu Live.
Hi, this is Mary from California.
Mary, how are you?
Hi, Mary.
Hi. I want to say hi to everybody, especially Neil.
Now, there is a good Olympus user.
That's right.
Yeah.
We need to get you. Hey, Mary, we need to get you on Main Menu Live.
Absolutely.
We'll work on that.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah. How
anyway,
can we help?
I just had an additional comment. People keep forgetting to mention that there is an AC adapter jack on the machine.
Oh, right.
And, it's right across from the battery.
It's right across from the battery compartment?
Right. It's on that same side. It's a little tiny recessed jack.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that doesn't come with the unit, though. That we need to make that clear, that if you want that, you have to order it separate, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But the machine does have the jack on it.
Now, are you using it with that, Mary?
I haven't yet, because I haven't really had a need to, but it's there. And, you know, you can just plug it in the wall if you ever need to do that.
Yeah.
It's a very little hole, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Does anybody know the answer to this? Does the unit... When it's plugged into the USB port, does it take its power from USB, or is it still running on battery?
Manual says that it runs off the USB power. So I would imagine that's probably correct.
Yes, I missed that somehow. The manual is actually not, unfortunately, the best one that I've seen in a lot of respect.
Yeah, another thing that I wanted to comment on is I discovered early on, I don't know if everybody else had the same thing happen, but when you plug the thing into the USB port, it has to be turned off, and then it turns itself on when it's plugged in, and then when you're done and you take the port, the thing out of the port, you have to turn the machine off.
Yes.
I've noticed that.
Hmm. I haven't noticed that.
It is kind of nice that it turns itself on when you plug it in. I've never tried plugging it in with it on because I didn't assume it might like that. But
yeah. Oh, I always have. I always thought you had to turn it on, and it seemed to forgive me. So
yeah, so I guess either way works.
Well, that's good.
USB is pretty forgiving.
Okay.
But it does stay on once you unplug it. She's right.
Anything else, Mary?
Yeah.
Anything else, Mary?
No, that's it.
Okay, great. Thank you very, very much for calling in, and we'll be in touch with you.
You're welcome.
All right, thank you. 866-400-JEFF, 866-400-5333. And, yeah, well, now, what do you think about, you obviously, Neil, have had an opportunity to play with all kinds of microphones, you know, with this thing. I mean, obviously more than what we're even on the podcast. And have you found any, you know, inexpensive, I mean, obviously you wouldn't want to, well, maybe you would, but I know I wouldn't want to do it. have you found any mics that work, you know, really well that are reasonably priced, you know, say, you know, $100, $150 or less range? Have you found anything that's...
with the Olympus?
Yeah.
Well, the mics I talked about earlier, the BSMs were, I think, like $75 or something like that.
Okay. Yeah, and you think those would be okay?
Well, I certainly like the podcast I heard. The problem is that there are better mics out there. The likelihood that you're going to find a battery-powered or electric condenser, whatever you want to call it, microphone with that low an output, most of them are higher than that. Now, one can get... I, for example, have some microphones that I got along the way for other podcasts from sound professionals, and you can do this from a lot of companies. And you can buy a battery box that not only powers the mics, of course you don't need to with the Olympus, it'll power the mics as long as it's in the special volt requirement. But one of the things that you can get in the power box is you can get one with volume control on it. So you can actually down the level of the microphones before it actually sees the Olympus. You do somewhat increase the noise level when you do that, but that would allow you to use even better mics that are higher output with the Olympus. And I think, I mean, given the podcast that I've heard on places that we may all know about, a lot of people are using mics that are probably less than $100. My $1,000 Danish Pro Audio binaural mics won't even, it just sounds like fuzz, it's so distorted.
Wow, yeah.
Perhaps inexpensive mics might be the way to go.
Interesting.
Tina is asking if more about these BSM9 mics, how you might get those, or maybe information about the podcast where you heard them demonstrated. You know.
The podcast is not up yet. I was just sent a notice of where I could find it, and they're trying to upload it to Blind Cool Tech, and it's by Andy. I can't remember Andy's last name.
Yeah, it was a Send Space file, wasn't it?
I'm sorry?
It was a Send Space file, wasn't it?
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. I'm trying to remember where if you do a search in Google or wherever, whatever, for BSM, no spaces, space 9,
okay,
and then space microphones, or microphone, I think you'll find a bunch of hits. I got mine on something like, I mean, I saw it on something like microphonemadness.com or some such place. But there were a number of hits that you came up with.
I think we have time for one more caller, and that caller has come in, so let's go ahead and take that call now. Hello, caller, and welcome to Main Menu Live.
Hi, my name's Cliff from Lakeland.
Hello, Chris.
And I wondered about recording or playing music. I had trouble. I tried to replay some music and had trouble getting it to sync up and play the albums. It put them out there, but then it said no files because it didn't look like it put them where it belonged.
Okay, okay. Oh, are you talking about recording them or actually putting them on the unit?
No, playing them, like albums, putting them onto the in the music folder.
Okay. Someone want to take that?
I haven't done that yet, so I don't know.
It's a little interesting in the music folder I found. You, when you go, when you put files in the music folder and you go to the music folder on the unit, and you, it says music folder and you hit play, nothing happens. I think what that means is you're at the top of the list. Once I start down arrowing, or I have to some, I don't remember how this works. I think I have to down arrow to somehow get into the folder, and then press play, and then your forward and reverse takes you through the folder. And evidently, you can do more than one folder deep, but I haven't figured that out. But I, there is that sort of weird thing that I think I had to do down arrow before I did anything else, and then I'm in the folder.
Okay, does that answer your question, Chris?
Yeah, well, I just couldn't, it kept saying no files, never could get it to work. I'll try it some more.
Okay, great. Thanks for calling in, Chris.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
The reason that happens, by the way, is because the podcast folder is comes with the unit. It's there by default, and it's under the music folder.
Ah, yes, you're right.
That's why...
You're right. That's why you have to arrow down and get out of the podcast folder, or get off that.
Yeah. It's kind of quirky, but that's how it is. So.
Interesting. All right. Well, we're almost nearing the top of the hour, and we definitely have other things coming up here on Mainstream. So before we let all of you go, you guys want to give a little bit of information on your last, just some lasting thoughts about the DS50. Let's start with Randy. Go ahead, Randy.
As I said earlier, I think it's a really good recorder for podcasting, note-taking, message handling, and for students who really do want to do lecture recording. I think it's a fine tool for that. Whether it may in some situations distort or not is something that, you know, folks can play with the attenuator, trial by error, we'll get that done. But I remember back in the days when you used analog cassette recorders with really poor front ends, we put up with a lot of distortion just to get the text we needed. So in that regard, if you compare this to that, I think this is a really large step forward. So I think it's really good, and I also think that the company needs to be commended for actually considering a feature that would benefit us.
Okay, and Don?
I'll just quickly say again that I think it's great for playing Audible files, and I would encourage anybody not to be afraid to use it as your Audible device. The batteries last a long time, and it's very compact, and it works really well.
Okay, and Daryl?
I've used it to record a couple of podcasts and as a means of note-taking during some important doctor's appointments, and the recordings come out really well. So I think it's great for recording speech. I don't think I would, in most cases anyway, use it for recording music, however.
Okay,
and it is very accessible, and we do appreciate the efforts made in that area.
That's right. And Neil?
One nice thing about the speech and recording speech files is the fact that you can go through and hear what the names of the folders are before you're in them, so that you can put your grocery list in one folder and your some kind of list in another folder. It's very easy to organize. The other quick thing is, on podcast, I like the speed adjustment that you can use on this recorder. It isn't like some of the other Olympus where you have only one choice of fast speed. You've got three or four, and they really work quite well.
All right. Well, I want to thank all of you for joining us tonight. It's been a pleasure to talk with all of you tonight about the Olympus DS50, and it's been a pleasure. Neil, we have to have you back to talk music.
We could do that.
All right. Well, let's do that. And all right. Well, hang on, you guys, and we'll be right back with you, and we'll take care of the stream here, and then we'll go from there. Hold on 1 second, guys. Coming up next week on Main Menu and Main Menu Live, we're going to be hearing from Brian Hargen from TNT Consultancy. He's going to be talking to us all about JSA Professional version 5.0. That's what's coming up next week on Main Menu and Main Menu Live. We'll have the podcast feeds up as well as the on-demand archives up shortly after this presentation tonight. So look for them on the website or look for them in your RSS catcher. Good night, everybody, and we'll see you all next week on ACB Radio's Main Menu and Main Menu Live.
If you would like to contact the Main Menu production team or panel of experts heard this evening on Main Menu Live, then simply send an email to mainmenu@acbradio.org. That's mainmenu@acbradio.org. If you have suggestions for topics or you have questions that you would like to have addressed on a future edition of Main Menu Live, then email us and we'll do what we can to answer them or cover your suggested topics on a future Main Menu Live. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us next week on ACB Radio Mainstream for another Main Menu Live.